It's the bottom line on News Radio 610, KONA, from the Tri-Cities to Olivia to D.C., we break down.
Break it all down.
The stories of the day and the people making the news.
And that's the bottom line.
Time to get the bottom line, presented by Summit Funding in Kennewick and Prosser.
And welcome into the bottom line, News Radio 610 KONA. It is Thursday afternoon. Rob Francis flying solo today. Greg will be back on Tuesday. Going to put the phones on hold for just a few as we welcome to the program author for The Federalist, Jordan Boyd. Good afternoon to you, Jordan. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So much of the attention over the last few days, and rightfully so, has been spent on Uvalde, Texas, a town many people never heard of before the other day. And, of course, the tragic shooting that occurred in Uvalde. And as many have been looking for answers and looking to provide information to the public, there have also been individuals who have looked to capitalize on this situation for their own self-interests, namely failed Senate candidate, failed presidential candidate, and more than likely failed gubernatorial candidate, Beto O'Rourke. And Jordan, talk to us a little bit about the incident that occurred between O'Rourke at Governor Abbott's press conference in Uvalde and the fallout since then.
Sure. So Governor Abbott, along with a lot of local officials in Uvalde, were having a press conference yesterday, sort of detailing the tragic events that happened. And, you know, before the press conference started, the mayor of Uvalde actually asked for politics to stay out of the conversation. They really wanted it to be focused on the families and grieving and mourning this incident. But instead of that, Beto O'Rourke stormed into the press conference and ran up to the stage and started accusing Abbott and the rest of the Republican officials up there of, you know, having blood on their hands, of saying, you know, the time to stop the next shooting is now, when you are doing nothing.
You know, and it's interesting because a reporter from CBS that was out there doing a stand-up made the comment that this was staged, because there were people near her who got up and moved when O'Rourke entered the room. And so it definitely came off as it was something that was coordinated by people with his campaign to give him an opportunity to have some face time in the middle of all this and confront Abbott in the hopes that this would give him some kind of a boost. But it seems to have backfired on him, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, voters in Uvalde are obviously very upset because they wanted to respect the mourning process. And seeing, you know, this politician who, like you mentioned, is a failed politician who obviously has a leftist anti-gun agenda come in and completely irregard the families who, you know, in Abbott's statement, he said, are crying right now. These families are still dealing with the aftermath of this. For him to come in and make this a political stunt for his campaign so that he can get media hits is just ridiculous.
We're talking with Jordan Boyd. She's an author for The Federalist here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Jordan, one of the things it seems that we're getting from both sides of the aisle, at least people that are taking a personal approach to this, not a political approach to this, is that, you know, we have to figure something out here. You know, responsible gun owners are talking, people who are advocates for personal rights, for people to be able to live the way they want to, but also those advocating for more safety in these situations. They want to have a conversation about where do we go now, because this, for a lot of people, is becoming a breaking point in all of these years of seeing these incidents happen. But yet there are still some that are looking at it, removing the humanity from the situation, and trying to carve out an agenda or forward their agenda on the deaths of 21 people.
Sure. And I think it's a very safe to say that most Americans are wanting solutions. Most Americans condemn this and say, this is unacceptable and we can't keep letting this happen. But conversations about those solutions are becoming tainted by people like O'Rourke who want to take advantage of the situation and put a political spin on it. And frankly, not only is that, like I mentioned earlier, irregard for the families that are mourning, but it doesn't do anything productive. I mean, I've been on Twitter all day looking through these hateful tweets of people saying, you know, if you care about babies in the womb, then you should care about kids in mass school shootings. And there's blood on your hands if you're pro-gun and pro-Second Amendment. I mean, those are conversations that are not moving the ball forward. They're actually taking us backwards.
Well, there's no question that rhetoric isn't going to help. But how much distrust does the general public have in elected officials right now, particularly at the national level? Because how many people actually have faith that you could have a bipartisan bill put together that wouldn't have some kind of trap in it that would impact regular people? They wouldn't even know it because they will paint this to look like it's solving a problem when it may actually be doing more damage than good.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's what a lot of people fear. I know there are conflicting reports coming out about what exactly happened and were law enforcement acting properly yesterday, or did this shooter just have 40 minutes to himself in a school? And that's concerning. And there are reports of parents who are ready to beat down the doors of the school. And for those same parents to the American voters whose representatives are trying to limit their ability to protect their families, that's insulting. That's ridiculous. And that's something that they're not going to stand for.
We spent a good amount of time on our program yesterday talking about different elements to this, because there's not one piece. There's not one solution. There's not one thing that you can do that will change the course or change the direction. It's a multi-layered situation. So Jordan, let me ask you, if you look at this situation, and you're going to begin somewhere, what's the point that you believe we need to start with the conversation and then branch outward to where?
You know, I was looking at some of the content that's been coming out from, you know, thinkers in this realm. And one of the things I've noticed is guns have been around for a long time. And these mass shooting events have really started to escalate recently. And you have to wonder, what's the root cause? You know, we can take out the middleman. We can try and attack guns, even though there's a constitutional right for Americans to have them. But what is causing these young men in the nation to go berserk and to do demonic things to hundreds of people over the course of 20 years? We really need to address what shift in our culture, what is happening to inspire these events.
You know, we're talking with Jordan Boyd. She is an author for The Federalist here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Jordan, I want to switch gears just a second, because I think that there is a tie to what happened in Uvalde, and that is with what happened in Buffalo roughly 11 days ago, and the fact that there are laws on the books in New York, red flag laws, that the protocols weren't followed a year and a half ago, which is why the person that was responsible for the shooting in Buffalo was able to obtain a firearm. Do we need to look more at — and 19 states, by the way, have red flag laws, so less than half of the country actually has these in place — are these a starting point, or do these create a can of worms that may also be dangerous for personal rights, depending on how they're crafted?
No, I definitely think that it is a concern, and it's even more concerning when states do have these laws and they're still not preventing it. You know, if legislating and infringing on Americans' rights still isn't working to stop this, why would we keep doing that? You know, that just seems illogical and a waste of time.
You know, one of the things that we talk about is the responsibility element, and certainly when you have something like this, there are multiple layers involved. You've got the school protocols, you've got police response, you have different elements within the community itself as far as resources being available. How many more things do we need to have, or do we need to look at all of these things that are in place now and look at maybe simplifying things more instead of trying to add more layers? Do we remove layers? I think there's a lot of people right now that aren't quite sure where we start.
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, there was a big conversation today between a lot of political pundits about, is this a local solution? Is that something that can be solved by doors? Senator Ted Cruz was like, every school should have one door that is, you know, every door is locked down and one point of entry, because this shooter apparently slipped in through an unlocked back door. And he's like, that's a local solution that can be implemented. So those are the kinds of creativity that need to enter the conversation. But like I mentioned earlier, when there's grandstanding, when there's, you know, all of this despicable, twisted political rhetoric, you're not going to have the space to think of creative solutions, to think of things that are going to work and to enact them.
And you mentioned the unlocked door, Jordan, and that's that, I think, right there is a point of emphasis, because with that known, or with that believed to be what allowed the shooter to have access to the school, that changes the conversation completely, because then it's not about the go-to where we have to have more gun control. That's a local oversight that if the door was locked and there wasn't access to the school, the shooter doesn't get in the building. 21 people potentially are alive. We don't know exactly how things would have played out, but he wouldn't have been able to get into the school through that door and have no one approach him.
Exactly. I mean, information is still pouring out, but what it looks like it's forming out to be is that there was a lot of failures on behalf of the school security force, and local law enforcement, that, you know, there were a lot of hurdles that this shooter could have been stopped by, and he simply wasn't. So those are the kinds of things that we need to keep in mind here, is what can we be doing to protect our communities? Because there already are so many things in place to do that. But if those aren't working and those aren't functioning, they're not going to stop a shooter.
We're talking with Jordan Boyd. She is an author for The Federalist here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. And Jordan, I think the incident that we saw, the exchange between Beto O'Rourke and Governor Greg Abbott, is more indicative of what the culture is like right now, what the political landscape is right now, that we have people yelling at each other instead of people wanting to figure out a solution. The climate is so toxic right now politically. We saw it at the national level with Chuck Schumer not bringing forward a bill that was actually proposed in the names of two of the Parkland victims by Rick Scott and I believe Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and he shot that bill down because it didn't have gun control measures in it, but yet it would have increased security in schools. Are we just so disengaged? Are the politicians at the national level so disengaged in actually what's happening in communities that it's really all about just continuing to fight for agendas?
I really think so. I think a lot of these politicians on both sides of the aisle, even, their identity lies strictly in their partisanship, which is why it's so important for families who want to protect their children and protect their community to still have access to the things that they feel like they can protect themselves with, like guns. So when politicians make these big moves to restrict access after tragic events like this, it only makes the cycle worse.
And it does. I don't think it really matters, Jordan, what ideology you have. If you try to take advantage of a situation like this, you know, President Obama famously said, don't let a, or I'm sorry, it wasn't President Obama, it was Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff, that said, don't let a crisis go to waste. This doesn't quite fall into that category, as I think Beto O'Rourke is finding out.
It definitely does not. And like I mentioned, voters rejected Beto's attempt to do this. They largely in Uvalde were like, this is not acceptable. Even if we believe the same thing as him, this shouldn't be happening in this moment. And the voters who understand that creating a career out of dancing on shooting victims' graves is despicable, it's hateful, and it's not welcome. And I think Beto will see that played out in his next election.
Jordan Boyd, author for The Federalist, appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on the program, and hopefully we have a chance to talk to you again in the near future.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Jordan Boyd, author for The Federalist, certainly appreciate her time this afternoon on the program. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of that new information that's come out regarding the Uvalde shooting, particularly the door.